right. Let's begin today to conclude. Well, let me see whether we can conclude it today. What we have been discussing on courage to conquer. And what I just want to emphasize to us again before I read the text that we are going to start with today is that God has committed his work on the earth to you and to me. Are you getting my point? He said the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the church. And I'm paraphrasing and adding many things together. He has given to the people that live on it. The earth he has given, all right, to the people that he placed on it to do something about. When he put Adam in the garden, he said to him, cultivate it. He said, guard it and keep it. The garden was dependent upon Adam for sustenance. What I mean is that for maintenance. Yeah, that's a good word. For maintenance. The earth, all right, is dependent upon us also for maintenance. So Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. What it means is that anything that the earth will experience is dependent upon you and upon me. Now, I want to notice something there. He said to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. All right? He didn't say to the Pharisees that they were the salt of the earth. What I'm saying is that the only people that will cause this earth to be preserved, all right, is you and it's me. Those who are following the Lord, those who are following him with their whole heart. Do you understand that? I said something last time that he's called the Lord of Lords and is the King of Kings. And what that means, all right, it doesn't mean that he's the king of all the presidents of this earth, even though indeed he is. What it means is that those who are really following him are kings and they are lords in their own right. And if you go and read that parable in Luke chapter 19, when he gave minas, all right, when he gave money to his servants, that he was going to take over kingdoms and that he will return. When he came back, showing that when they were showing him what they did with the money he gave them, he said, occupy with this, do business with this until I return. What he did as a consequence of how they bore fruit was to put them in charge of what? Cities. That is what he was doing, is that each one of his servants were becoming kings and they were becoming lords. And that's why he said he's the Lord of Lords and he's the King of Kings. Let's not ever forget this. The world will not improve by itself. It won't. The world will not change just because, all right, it's tired of the way it has been. The only reason why it's going to change is because good people get up and they do what they are supposed to do. And I said before that it's a battle, all right? The devil is not just going to yield ground for you just like that. It's not. Even the one you have taken, he will try and take it back. And that's why he said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is, the gates of hell is trying to, you know, now let me just explain that again. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail. I like one thing Miles Morrow said then, which I have taught several times since I heard him say it. I never noticed it until he said it. He said, I noticed that the way we used to think about it as if the gates of hell will not prevail, so we are defending against the gate of hell. And he explained to us that, when I listened to that message, that listen, gates are for defense. They are not for attack. You don't carry gates to battle. Are you getting my point? Gates are for what? For defense. That is when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That is, the church is the person on the attack. Are you getting my point? What the gates of hell is doing is trying to defend itself against the assault of the church. That's why we're talking about the courage to attack, the courage to take over. Listen, when Jesus came, and that's a matter of fact, Satan looked at him. We're not discussing the theology behind that, whether it was Adam that did it or not. But the point is that Satan looked at him and said, look at it, bow to me, I will give you all these kingdoms because they have been delivered to me. It's a matter of fact that by the time Jesus came, Satan had walked his way and had taken over all the kingdoms that were around. He had taken over all the kingdoms that were on the earth. So they were being guarded. He said, the strong man, when he guards his goods are undisturbed. So he said, upon this rock I will build my church. They are going to take over the kingdoms. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he said, the kingdoms of Satan will try to prevent. So he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is, anywhere they attack, listen, they will conquer. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. Anywhere they attack, they will do what? They will conquer. Because as a commandment of God, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the assault of the church. That is, anywhere you see the gates of hell still in charge, the church is not attacking. I don't know what I hear what I said. Let me say it again. If you sit down and you say, the one we say all the time, politics is dirty. You know what it means? The church has not attacked. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, sir. If you look at anything on the earth and you say it is still bad, you know what it means? The church has not attacked. If you see anywhere, let me say it to you, including some of the places we think they are the strongholds of the devil, the fact is that the church has not attacked. You know, the Middle East is a satanic stronghold. Yeah, let's not pretend. I know anytime you say something that's true, some people start rioting. But let's tell ourselves the truth. You say, Pastor Banker, you say the church has not attacked. Yes, I believe it. All right? There's a principle of timing also, but there's something I want to bring out. All right? When we're talking about attack, it's not just by shouting we have attacked. There are things that we haven't done. For example, if you look at it from the outside, most of the preaching of the gospel seem to be coming out of places like the United States. Are you getting my point? Anytime I listen to them on TV, I've never heard one of them, God is my witness, I'm not lying, I've not heard one tell the truth about the gospel to those people. That's what I mean by they have not attacked. Listen, a typical American preacher makes it clear to you, God hates the Arabs. Am I lying? Please. You are there. We can say that God loves them, but that's not what we mean. We make it clear that God loves the Jews. They are the people of God. God gave them the land, but he hates the gods of everybody that's against the Jew. You want to hear the truth? It's a lie. The truth is that the Arab and the Jew, they are both unbelievers. The truth is that both of them, Jesus died for them. The truth is that anyone that does not believe will likewise perish. Jew or Gentile. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. You blind, it's not in the Bible. Hey, listen, as a matter of fact, if we told the truth and we attacked, it will break down. And I believe a lot of the problems you are seeing now is that some people are really beginning to attack. And they are praying. There's one man ahead, Egyptian. Egyptian Coptic priest. A man is tough. Those are the few people that are attacking. The time American soldiers were in Iraq, pray for our troop in Iraq. And I said, what's wrong with you? What about the Iraqis? Are they not human beings? I hope you know there are probably more resident Christians amongst the Palestinians than there are among the Jews. Most of the Christians in the Jewish land, they are visitors, people like you that go for a pilgrimage. Well, that may not be statistically correct as one is more, but the point is that unbelievers fool everywhere. When we don't preach the truth, we are not attacking. In Nigeria of today, very few Christians are attacking in politics. Very few. Very few. All right? Very few. And I think one of the lies that Satan sold to us is to let us, you know, we settle down and say, that thing is dirty. So we don't attack. I hope you're following me. The fact is that if the church we attack, the gates of hell cannot. It does not have the power to prevail against it. That's why we're talking about what? Courage to conquer. That's why we're talking about it. The children of Israel, they were sent to go and take over in the promised land. When they looked from outside and they saw PDP, they were afraid. I don't know whether I heard what I said.
Yes, sir.
When they attended one meeting of ACN, they were afraid that no, Christians don't belong here. When they sat down in the Federal Executive Council meeting or went to the ministries and saw the degree of wickedness and bribery and subversion and betrayal that's going on, they ran. What did they do? They ran. They were like the sons of Ephraim that were armed. But in the day of battle, what did they do? They disappeared. They broke the covenant of God. Why? They saw ordinary PDP. I like one thing we're taught those days as believers. When Paul was talking about the armor of God, he talked about the shield of faith, the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Which other one? The helmet of salvation. And then the sandals that are down there. And last of all, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're taught those as children. that notice there was nothing for your back. There's shield of faith, it's in front of you. There's breastplate. You didn't say there's a trunk armor. You understand my point? A breastplate. That is, what we're taught is that, he said, oh boy, when you turn back, they go kill you. That is, there's nothing for your back. That they expect to always be facing front. Always attacking. No retreat. No surrender. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I were taught those ones those days in university. That there's nothing for your back, brethren. There's nothing for your back. And like I've said several times, this is how it is with God. Once you leave Egypt, you must enter into the promised land. The only other option is what? You perish in the wilderness. Last time I explained something. That not to try is what the problem is. Are you getting my point? Listen, God will make laws to favor you. That's a matter of fact. That's a matter of fact. You see, for example, I think about it sometimes. Let us assume you decide that there should be a real Christian governor. No, there are governors that go to church. But I mean a real Christian governor. You understand my point? That go to church and do Christian work. They do charity work. They sing on Sundays. That's not what I mean. I mean Christian from the bottom of their hearts. Are you getting my point? Yes. Maybe you just said that. No. You should be one. When you went for PDP primaries, you too, you realized that this is not safe. This is not good. You just can't get involved. So you decide, okay, I am going to be an independent candidate. And you find out that the law in Nigeria, that's where I'm going, doesn't allow for independent candidates. That's where I'm going. That's what I mean when I said, listen, God will change laws for your sake. He will. If he doesn't, then what he means is that go and take over a political party. Listen to me. Don't form a Christian political party. Don't. Christians make those mistakes. Don't form a Christian political party. God will not allow you to win an election if you campaign on the platform of Christianity. I hope you, what I said didn't shock some of you. Because you are going to be a governor to Muslims, Hindus, you understand? Goat worshippers. All kinds of people. In fact, forget that one. Your Christianity is your own. You understand my point? There's no need to form a Christian political party. It's not necessary. A political party is just what? A political party. Then when the people are inside, start moving, we'll know whether they are Christians or they are not. What I'm going to say is that, listen, you don't draw back because something is dead. No. The reason is because the only thing that can clean it is you. Are you getting my point? It said you are the light of the world. That's what it means. The only way you dispel darkness is through what? Through light. You are the salt of the earth. The only reason why I won't kill everybody is because of you. That's what he was saying. You are the reason why places are preserved. The way I like to explain it all the time is if 10 people have been found in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and around them, they will have survived. So those 10 people would have been called the salt of those cities. When they were not found, they were destroyed. Many nations have been destroyed every day. Anytime I remember the story of Rwanda, I just shake my head. Those things are supernatural. They are what? They are supernatural. I sit down on TV, I'm watching news on TV, and I see what's going on in the Arab world today. You know, I used to ask those days, if anybody has insight, come and tell me. Nobody has come to talk to me. But every day I observe and I consider, I get more understanding. I don't want to go into it now, but I believe it's the beginning of the end. Did you hear what I said? Jesus. Is what? I don't mean that Jesus Christ is coming. That's not what I mean. Are you getting my point? No. That one is not what I mean. I mean it's the beginning. I don't mean the end of the world. I mean the end of the people. I mean the end of a particular philosophy. I mean the end of a particular religion. I mean the end of a particular world political power. That's what I mean. I mean they are being destroyed from the base. I know what I'm talking about. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let me go on with the point I'm making here. So God is going to change this world only through you and through me. That's the way it's going to work. And there are different spheres in which believers labor. There are people that labor, let me put it like this. Okay, there's a priestly office. I've discussed this before. The priestly corner of life. There are things we do that are not physically relevant, but they are the reasons why the outward things will happen. For example, for Israel to be delivered, Daniel had to pray. Do you follow the point? But for Israel to be delivered, Cyrus had to issue a decree. But that decree would not have come forth if Daniel did not pray. We often focus only on that area as believers. But you see, that's just one area. There's a second side. There is what? A second side. There's an outward side in which believers also get up and they do things. Listen to me. I believe that why God uses those who are not believers is because two reasons. One, either he can't find people, or the job is not a good job. You know, not a good job. Yes, if God wants to destroy things, he doesn't use good people. Bad people must be the ones to destroy. Yes. But when the work is good, he will only use people that are not his people when he can't find his people. Are you getting my point? And that's what we've been talking about all these weeks. Courage to conquer. We must bear that in mind. Don't think for a moment that Nigeria health sector, we just wake up one day and say, ha, I'm tired of being bad. I can't let me be bad like this. So good hospitals just grow from grass. You wake up one morning and say, what happened here? I don't know what happened. We just slept, woke up this morning, and this beautiful hospital, nice doctors from everywhere, they are here. No, that's not going to happen. You and I are going to get up and build them. Are you getting my point? Good schools will not grow out of nowhere. Nobody will suddenly wake up from, just wake up and say, I just found myself in the center of this compound. What happened? See classroom, see nice teachers. They must be angels that just wore human clothing. God will put the idea into somebody. That's how the world changes. Are you getting what I'm saying? And listen, when they tell you that, this country is bad, it just means there's work to do. It doesn't mean you have the right to go anywhere. Should I say that again? No, I don't need to say it again. You've heard it too many times. It is never an incentive for running. There's no armor for your back. You know, we said that before. Something is bad just means there's work to do. I was discussing the other day that, listen, when we say poverty, it just means that people are not doing anything. It doesn't mean, look, I only believe in poverty when there are natural disasters. Are you getting my point? If a tsunami comes and cleans everything out, that's poverty. If there's no rain for 5 years, that's poverty. But with all the rain falling, with the absence of tsunami, with the weather being in order, with the land growing grass naturally like this, poverty just means we're not doing anything. It means we are lazy, maybe, or we don't know how to deploy our strengths. That's what it means. I don't believe that poverty, there's no poverty if there's no natural disaster. Are you getting my point? Yes. If a disease comes and kills half of the population, that's a problem. That can be a cause for poverty. But people are alive, they are basically healthy, and they come to the stories, I've been looking for a job for the last 5 years, I've not seen anything to do, slap him. You get what I say? It doesn't exist. It does not exist. It just means we are not doing something. Like you see, in the midst of the opportunity for progress, for prosperity, for stuff like that, when we are still experiencing poverty, it's just that key people have not taken their places. That's what I'm saying. Are you getting my point? Key people haven't taken their places. They have not risen to do what they are supposed to do. That's why we're talking about courage. And there are reasons why they don't bother. I'm not going to go over that today because we have spent quite a number of days on it. I want to try and conclude today. Now, let me quickly settle down on what I want to say today. We've established the fact that we need courage. Fear exists. And we need to rise up and walk above our fears. What I want to explain today briefly as I close this whole thing. I don't know, how do I title it? Let's call it the first steps, all right? What do I call it? The first steps, all right? Or beginning small, something like that. The book of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to read to the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll now read back that Luke chapter. Okay, let's start from Luke chapter 19. Then we'll go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Because we know this story very well, I will not spend a lot of time reading it. I'll read from verse 12 just to introduce it, but I'll quickly go down to where I'm going. It said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and return And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him and all of that. Okay, but when he returned, he began to speak to them one by one to account for what they did while he was gone. Verse 16 says, and the first appeared saying, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, be in authority over 10 cities. And that continued. Verse 20, and then another came, that's the last one, saying, Master, behold your mina. Behold the thing you gave me to trade with. I have done nothing with it. I kept it, I put it away in a handkerchief. I'm expanding that verse 20. Why? For I was afraid. Let me just summarize it like that. For I was afraid. I was afraid of you. Because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap where you did not sow. So I was afraid that because you are such a person, I might lose your money. And he said to him, by your own words, I will judge you. If you knew I was like this, please, I'm trying to hurry now. Why didn't you just put my money, verse 23, in a bank so that I might receive some interest? Then in verse 24, he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has the 10. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 already. I tell you that to everyone who has shall more be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Let me just stop there. Now, we know this portion very well. I'm going to pass some comments as it's relevant to what I want to say today, all right, from it. Let's go back to that Ecclesiastes chapter 11 that I was talking about. It said, cast your bread on the surface of the waters. That's from verse 1. For you will find it after many days. I think the today's English translation, that's the good news, that says invest in foreign trade or something like that, and it will return profit to you. In verse 2, it says, divide your portion to 7 and even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. And whether a tree falls towards the south or towards the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. Where I'm going is verse 4. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. I need verses 1, 2, and 4 to explain what I want to talk about today. I think I've read enough for now. Let's just continue talking. What do I want to say specifically today? I talked about what? The first steps. What do I mean? I'm trying to see how I should just explain this. When I was young, those days, my mother used to say something. Now, before I tell you what my mother used to say, let me say something to you first. Many things, you know, right now, people are demonstrating. Occupy Wall Street. Do you watch TV and you see things like that? Occupy Wall Street has gone to Spain, Italy, to soon reach Lagos. I hope not. That people are just everywhere. And this is what they are doing. They are angry with the rich. You understand my point? Now, please, before I go on, bear in mind, I'm not supporting anybody. Are you getting my point? I am not supporting anybody at all. I'm not supporting those who are occupying, and I'm not supporting those who have been occupied. I just want to pass a few comments. Also, Chambers said it before, that life is not fair. And that, now, of course, everybody knows that. What he said is that, don't just bother about it, it is not fair. I don't know what I'm saying. Don't try and make it fair, it's not fair. They just have to learn how to walk in the midst of life that is not fair. That's what Osochiba said, which I wanted to understand. Maybe because of the way the Lord has been teaching me for a long time, there are statements you have never heard me say. There are things you don't hear from my mouth. The rich people are always oppressing the poor. You don't hear me say it. That these rich people are oppressing us. These people in power are oppressing us. There are people who hate Dangote with all their heart. There are things you don't hear from my mouth. How come? I've seen people sit down and say the man is the only one controlling importation of sugar. They said that to me 15 years ago or more. Then recently they are angry that he's controlling cement. Are you getting my point? People are angry with people because how can they do this? It's a natural thing, all right, for you to feel oppressed if somebody is extremely in power. You understand my point? and is not being generous. Yet, it's a natural thing. But what I want to understand is this. No matter how angry you are with those people, there is a law of God that says they will only get richer. And the angrier you get, the poorer you get. That's where I'm going. Vex from now till tomorrow. If ITV doesn't work extra hard, vex all you want, DSTV will be richer. ITV will close down. I pray it doesn't happen. We're talking about a natural play. I pray that brother is using all the spiritual force in his soul to stay alive. The other day, some people showed up in Lagos. They were offering some kwekwe channels for 1.5 a month. DSTV gave out those channels free of charge. That is, whether you pay subscription or not, watch it. You can vex all you want. You can. It's a law of God. To him that has, more will be given. Vex from now till thy kingdom come. You can't change that law. When communism tried to change the law by force, they collapsed. Please, what am I saying? You see, there are different sides to everything. You get my point? The capitalists, this was their own issue. If you understand, I heard somebody explain this, that the fundamentals of capitalism was laid by the Puritans. And if you know what they call Puritans, they are serious Christians. They don't play with it. And their principle is this. And if you go and read the story of his life, my life, my work and my life, something like that, by Henry Ford, you'll see some of those things inside there. Henry Ford believed, like the Puritans, that all men were not created with the same abilities. So leave those who have the great abilities to express those abilities, that no matter how hard you try, you cannot forcefully equate people. Now, but the other side, I said there are different sides. The other side is that they also teach generosity. That's why they will make all the money, they build all the hospitals. They will establish libraries. Are you getting my point? They give scholarships. But they would never accept that you should forcefully make everybody equal. No. Why should I be on the same level with a man who doesn't want to get up and go and do something? When I have done something and made millions and millions and millions and millions, I can give him free bread if he wants. Now, I'm not even got some issues to you here, all right? This is how life is. Don't join the camps of those, you know, I've told you before, you are not a child of the devil. That's the only way I can say it. You are not poor. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You were created influential, you were created rich, you were created with ability in Christ. So don't ever say, the rich people are oppressing us, the poor. If I hear that from your mouth, may your two front teeth disappear. Who is us, the poor? You? How can you insult Jesus Christ like that? When they gather in your schools, and they started, they don't want the poor to go to school, walk away, because you go to school. They don't want small people to become great in life. Walk away. They're not talking about you. Leave them there. Don't waste your time fighting rules and laws that God put in place. To him that has, more will be given. Listen, that law is in place. Some people are nice. They use it properly. Some people are wicked. They use it wickedly. Are you getting my point? That's not your business. Your business, what I'm trying to explain to you, that just second, that law is there. Alright? And make sure it works for you. That's where I'm going. You're a good person. I pray to God it works for you. So that no matter how much comes to you, even though you already have plenty, it's only blessing that the world around you will experience. Because when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But the righteous don't rule because they say, no. The law of God that says those that have shall have more is not a just and fair law. They don't. No, that's not how they rule. What happens simply is that they understand those laws and they make those laws work for them. One of the men, a particular man, I don't know his name, but you've all heard of Martin Luther King Jr. I have a dream. That one day this nation shall rise. You know, the dream. All right. Now, actually, he didn't have a dream. He had a vision. Amen? The man before him was the one that had the dream. The man who pastored the church he was in, all right, they sacked him and he took over because he had a dream. But that man says something. This is where I'm going. The story of him I read. I don't have the details. I just heard the story here and there. He used to explain to them, that the black people, that the white people were discriminating, were oppressing them, which was a matter of fact. It wasn't a lie. But he established something in their heart. He tried to explain it to them. They did. They sacked him. Then Martin Luther carried the thing on, all right? What he said was that they will continue to oppress you as long as you depend on them for everything. He was a pastor of a church. And the way American pastors be, they don't do anything else but pastor. He started selling vegetables in front of the church. And he was trying to explain to the people, the reason I'm doing this is not because I need money. I just want people to understand that unless you start selling vegetables, the white man will continue to oppress you. Every time you make little money, you go to his shops to go and buy. Are you getting my point? You have money, you deposit in his bank. You want to borrow money, you borrow from his bank, you will be oppressed all the days of your life, he was telling them. They are, get up and open shops. Buy from one another. Empower yourselves to be able to talk and get out of this oppression, this oppressed state that you are in. And just sit down there and be complaining and complaining. The man talked to him. In fact, it was too much talk that made the deacons fire him. But the principle he was telling them is that as long as a man has the power, he will oppress. And if you want oppression to end, you have to start empowering yourselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? And listen, when you are ready to do some things, God starts opening the doors for you. That's what I'm saying. I'm explaining the principle here. I said first steps. Is that what I'm saying? If you believe God has created it to prosper, say amen. If you believe that you are armed with the strength of God, the grace of God to overcome every challenge, say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, you have to get up and start tackling the challenges. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm going today. Well, I've been speaking all the while about the time the seed will die. But let's even forget the time it's going to die so that it might multiply. Let's even talk about the creation of that first seed. That's where I'm going. I want to challenge every one of God's children. One, there's nothing wrong with taking a job. Jobs are good. I hear an amen.
Amen.
I mean, I work for the federal government. But the other day, I was thinking about it. Whatever you want to do in life, make sure that if you get sacked, you won't cry. I was talking with a brother. He works in an oil and gas company, one of those big ones, very big. And he said where he works, these boys, middle-level guys collect a few millions, put together at the end of the year. Maybe they'll be earning like between 10 and 20 million naira per annum. Plenty money. But he says, sir, you have not seen as much insecurity as when you talk to these people. They are afraid. If I lose this job, I'm dead. They have calculated that, oh my God, on earth, where will I get this kind of pay again? A lot of people are giving tithes and offering, not out of love for God, but secure this job, God. Is it only 10% you're asking for? Okay, let's make it 15. Just secure this thing. And he works there also. But when he looks at them, he shakes his head and said, my God, this is not life. That is, those are the kind of people that if the boss said, bow to this graven image they have made, they will go and say, God, your 10% is guaranteed. This bowing, how will it disturb you? Are you not still God? Let me just bow small. At the end, your 10%. That's why the way we preach tithing, it irritates my soul. So you come and pay God off. Once you pay him off, anything you do. There was one girl counseling her sister. I heard the gist. She was a big-time harlot. You know, there are different kinds of harlots. There are those ones that just come out around 10 o'clock down there. Just park. Just wait. 2 minutes later, they will say, maybe na recharge car you want, or na then you want. You go. Those are the very low. But there are some that they drive very nice cars, very, very nice rides. But that's the job they do. This girl was one of them. I tell the sister, don't worry. I was teaching her sister. Just make sure you pay your tithe. God in heaven knows I'm not lying. Can sleep with Elijah. Once you collect 1 million, go to the closest church and dash God in portion. He will wipe all your sins away. Let's not go there. The Lord is good. Just for the record, that's a lie. I know you know it's a lie, but let's just put it on record that we said it. That, like Bishop Oyedepo used to say those days, he said, very good. With that title, you have reported yourself to God. He said, maybe God was not paying you attention before. Once you bring the money, he said, hey, I don't catch you now. Maybe he was overlooking what you were doing. But the point I'm just making is that some people, that's why they do such things. They are so insecure. The pastor would think this guy is an aggressive giver. No, he's afraid. And you told him the way to secure this your job is just pay up some portion. I saw a film the other day. They are armed robbers. Before they go to operate, they go church. Yeah, this is not a joke. They are career criminals. Look for a close by church. They just have to drop something for God. And somebody taught them, and that's not a pastor, it can be a juju man that taught them that you must give the big God. But there are different levels of gods. So the big one, there are some boys that said they are speaking for him. Go and give them give them a portion, then your stealing will work. Let's not sit on that. What I'm sitting on, all right, is the fact that, listen, you can't in life, I'm giving you advice now, no matter what you do in life, make sure that it's a kind of thing that they fired you, it wouldn't bother you. A human being, of course, you feel bad for a day or two, but your hope is not tied to that thing. We're teaching in Uli, Yunka and I went there the other day, and I explained to them that you are a job. You know what I said? People say there are no jobs. I said it's a lie. How can they say you don't exist and you agree with them? That you are the job. That employment you got is a place of manifestation. So whether that employment is there or not, you will still exist and you will find another place to manifest. It is wrong thinking to think that it's when you get there that you actually have a job. That's why you are afraid of losing it. So whatever you want to do, like, listen, look, there's a worldly system. You know, I was telling you last time. This worldly system is real. What it does is to ensure that you are dependent on other people. See, you know, I say this all the time. That they have a saying in Western Nigeria that if you see an adult running, it can be running because something is chasing him, or it can be running because he is the one pursuing something. In the same manner, two people can be working in the same office, doing the same jobs, but their motivations are different. This is a worldly motivation. This is what Satan is trying to do to you and to me. He wants us to be such that we are dependent upon that job. We didn't come there to be a blessing. We didn't come there to learn. We didn't come there to add anything. We're just dependent upon it. But this is what God wants. Everywhere you walk, you are there to do one or two things, or both of them combined. You are there to bless somebody and to learn. You are not ever there anywhere to be established there, have a career. There are people that are afraid of Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala. Because ever since she came to Nigeria, pension is no longer sure. Those days, if I still remember, my mother and I will be talking, say, government thing. I knew I could never get across to her. Because in her generation, the best thing to do for yourself is work for government. Because one day you will retire and they will continue to pay you pension. Then one day government found out they couldn't afford it anymore. So they said, now you are going to contribute towards your own pension. You know what that means? If stock market crashes badly one day, you won't get money again. They've taken security out of working for government. And I've always told people, why should somebody tell you you are old as the age of 65 that you should retire? Silvio Berlusconi, I saw him on TV running up and down. The man is 75 or 76, or is he, you know, one, I mean, I saw this man being interviewed today, Jimmy Carter. That man is 80-something. You can't remember his age exactly. He's about around the age of 80. These men are fit and they will retire you at the age of 65. Do you know why? The job must go around. And you'll be foolish enough
All right, you'll be a fool to agree with them that they just 65, you are tired. I think the best thing you can do for yourself, if you actually work for government, is long before 65, walk away. Yes, walk away. To let them know that, look, your life doesn't depend on this thing. And not be just to vex. So, you know, but it's vex. There are some people, they can't vex for their boss at all because there's nowhere else you are going. Once they scatter that office, you're jobless. And the only way you can, not that you will not be jobless in life, is if you first develop yourself to be the job. Let's get this in clear. You mustn't go to an office thinking that, you know, I'm an officer level one. Then you're hoping that one day they will make me an officer level two. Hey, then one day, an officer level three. Hey, praise God. Oh. Then one day, you know, you're thinking they'll now become a senior manager. Hey, you don't deploy the career inside one establishment that can get sold to Indians one day, and Indians will sack everybody. You start campaigning with NLC. Hey, you don't want it to happen to you. No, it's happening right now. You join NLC suddenly. There are things the NLC cannot make me join them to do. You think the Indians came here? You think they are charity people? They came here to make money. They bought the company with their money, not your money. You can't tell them how they are going to run it. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Listen, I said, there are two different ways. Some say, this is my career. For believers, true kings and lords, true priests of God. For us, it's not like that. If I'm officer level 3 or level 1, whatever it is I am, I'm acquiring the knowledge, the understanding to be equal or better than those who are 10 places above me. When we talk, they will know this man may be level 1, but he talks like a man who's far beyond the level where he's on. And listen, such people, the Bible says, do you see a man who is skillful? The word in King James says diligent. But the literal Hebrew, most other modern traditions give the word skillful. Skillful in his business. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before common people. My friend, I told this story a number of times. The guy was a farm rep. Very good one. He will go pay himself, learn principles of marketing, do courses and all of that. The guy was damn good and very diligent. The day came, issues, personal issues and, you know, country issues came, and then he decided that he was tired of where he was working. He said the job, he's tired of it, so he resigned. The person was above him in Lagos. He was covering the north. You know, a bit jealous of him and was glad to let him go. Except that their big boss from South Africa visited around that time. And he, how's this guy? They say he's resigned. Where is he? When was that? Last week, you know? I'm just trying to make it just clear. I can't remember this of how it happened. But the man came, and he was very angry with them. That, what do you mean? This guy, the time he was in Lagos, he was consistently your best salesman. He went up to the north. He made that region the best region for you. What is wrong with you? When he resigns, where do you think he's going? You think he's going home to go and sell cocoyam? He's going to work for another company that's competing with you. All his skills, everything he knows about you, what do you think he'll do with it? The boss requested that man from South Africa. He had more sense than the Nigerians. He demanded they should call the guy for him. What's the problem? They discussed. Okay, what are the things? What is the real issue? The guy said, look, he's tired of the north. He wants to come back to the south. He said, all right, okay, no problem. So that's done. You're coming back? Yeah, we're bringing you back. You want to come back to Lagos? Yes. So you are hereby transferred to Lagos. What else? He said, the position I'm on right now, I'm tired of it. I want the next one. They told him that we are sorry. That one is occupied. But don't be angry. We can't just sack the other fellow who is there. And we have only that position. So you know what we're going to do? The guy told him straight, I will pay you whatever we are paying people on that position. But please, just accept this one that you are on now. He told me that he is the only one, he and his boss in the company, that knows where he ends. So as not to cause discontent within the industry. They paid him the same as everybody else, calculated the difference, and gave him upfront. If the difference in the salary between this guy and the next guy was, okay, in today's terms, maybe like 5 million naira in a year. At the beginning of the year, the counter 5 million naira I gave him. Don't tell anybody. We don't want quarrel. We don't want them to join NLC all of a sudden. So, Why? Because the man is the job. He's not just looking for a job. Are you getting my point? The man with insight saw him and said, ah, this guy is too good. Laban pursued after Jacob. He said, my blessing, where are you going? Where are you going? The guy said, I want to go home and go and prepare for my own house. The guy said, wait. I'm just coming from the Babalao. They just finished the divination process and they told me, the only reason why I've prospered all these years is because of you. Please, let's begin to share the wages. And I began to, they said, tell me exactly what you want me to pay you. That's what I'm talking about. Read this man's, there's this series of messages I shared with guys the other day, Andrew Womack. The time he said he worked for a photography, a small shop, all right? So a few months of working there, the man offered him 50% of the business. He had to explain to him, say, I'm sorry, I am going away to go and do ministry. This is not my calling in life. But why I brought up the issue is the fact that he was the job. He wasn't begging for a job. So we're going out in life, listen, we're not going to go and queue like everybody else. Ask yourself, you know, these are the things we young people should tell ourselves. You are leaving school. If we're going to queue in MTN, Zen, all the banks, ask yourself, what am I going to give to them? Yes, it's a mentality matter. You don't go there and say, hey, praise God, man, I don't arrive. They will sack you one day, and it's the will of God. You hear what I said? Yeah, it's the will of God. It's just the will of God. God is not angry with you. He's just happy for you that you must increase and progress. And this one is the way by which you want to make progress. Do you follow the point I'm making? Do you get what I'm trying to say? You know what I've just explained so far? Is the fact that, listen, when the Bible says that we are the light of the world, Satan tries, he said the adulteress, you know what she does? She hunts for precious lives. Do you get my point? You've heard of people who use people to do juju for money. Why don't they catch all these crazy men on the street? Because they need what? Precious lives. You are getting what I'm saying? Precious lives. Precious ones. You know what I'm saying? That the world system, what they want to do is to cap you. They want us to be dependent upon them, and we must never let that happen. Paul said, I'm not saying because of this, you must not work in a worldly company. You get my point? So I only work in the Christian company. Some Christian bosses are as wicked, so leave that one. Are you getting my point? Paul said, I'm not telling you that now. He said, you have to go out of this world. He said, so that's not what I'm telling you. There are other principles we apply. You can work in this. You can work for Dangote, whether it's a Muslim or not. That's not what I'm talking about. You can work for federal government, whether they are Muslims or Christians. That's not what I'm talking about. You can work anywhere. The point is that while you are working there, what are you doing? Are you there marking time and begging? They don't pay. This increment, they never give us this increment. No, your mentality should be that a time will come, going to work, you will consider it a sacrifice. I don't get my point. That if I were not working for you people, I know what I would be doing. You must aim to get to that level. And not just brag, you know, your boss too will know it. You get my point? That is, every time I'm working, I'm learning. I'm always seeking to increase my ability to deliver. I'm not here to beg somebody for money. If I'm working somewhere, I'm there to learn. I'm there to be a blessing. That's it. If I'm neither learning nor being a blessing, I literally walk away. I pray we'll get to that point. That will not be so dependent upon the security that is being offered. Because listen, that's how we first did the series, The Sayings of God, to let us know that our lives are not accidents. They are not accidents. Your future is secure. Did I hear an amen? It is secure. That one was secure before they founded the federal government and before they founded that big company you are working for. It was secure before then. The world system wants us to be dependent upon it. So that we don't take the mark of the beast, we can neither buy nor sell. I was thinking about that man, the man before Martin Luther King. He said, guys, you want freedom? You have to be free. I don't know whether I get my point. I'm paraphrasing many things he said. You want freedom, you have to be free. And I'm explaining to you that it's a mindset. It's a mindset with which you face the world. And one of the things that God did for us before now, before having to go out is to put a skill inside people. Now, let me quickly get into that. We've talked many things here and there. So let me just pick a few things from there to distill into today's message. What am I supposed to do with my life? We talk about the will of God all the time, all right? How do I discover? People keep on asking me, how do you discover the will of God? How do I know God's plan and purpose for my life? There are two ways. There are two things, all right? They are not necessarily mutually exclusive. They probably work hand in hand. But for some people, one may weigh heavier than the other. But there are two things. Number one, there is a skill. There is a gift, what we call gift. There is a talent, whichever way you want to describe it, that you have. And that's why Jesus said, occupy with this until I come. I say all the time, what some people do, you know, I was talking with, where's the apostle? It's not around now. Okay. Last time, we're talking about how God judges. That God judges you according to what he gave you. Are you getting my point? If he gave you two minas, he's judging you based on two. If he gave you one, he's judging you based on one. If he gave you ten, he's judging you based on ten. That's a matter of fact. He doesn't judge you by what you borrowed. That's where I'm going. If he says, occupy with this until I come, he's not judging you by what you went to borrow to add to this. Are you getting my point? Now, bear that in mind, bear that in mind. I'm going somewhere. So sometimes, no, all of us, as a matter of fact, we have a gift. We have something we have been given. For example, the reason why you are here is because, to me, Banky was given the ability to interpret and to teach the scriptures. Are you getting my point? It does not mean I'm more of a Christian than the people listening to me. It doesn't mean I'm a better worker for God than those who are listening to me. It just simply means I have something that God said, go and deliver to my people. You get what I'm saying? All right. Now, one way by which we know what to do with our lives is when we have identified that. I don't want to go into this about that, but you see, Paul said that each person has a gift according to the has grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The meaning of the word grace is, in that context, is that which the person does easily. I don't know if I get my point. That's what it means. For example, the effort. Should I use the word effort? What's the opposite of effort? The lack of effort. That's better. That I use in preparing a message. When a lot of people find out, they are surprised. I can preach in my sleep. That's not a joke. One day we were in church, we were supposed to have a program or a wedding or something, but things were not getting ready, so we were waiting. So I just got up, I said, why are we waiting? I said, somebody give me a Bible. So I remember, one guy said, Pastor B, yeah. He quickly sat down, somebody give me a Bible. Just toss me a Bible, just flip somewhere, open the scripture. Why are we waiting? Why should we be wasting this time? Let me share something. I took like 15 minutes, and the guy went, We're waiting. Do you understand my point? We're just waiting. My friend, then, the one that's passed on to be with the Lord now, I've seen him, he used to do it. He just say, hey, Banky, how now? He would just hug you like this and start singing. He has never sang that song until that point. That's his own gift. Do you get my point? There are different types. There are different types. You know, I saw, you know, I think it was on news, I saw an artist showing his artwork. I was marveled, you know, the kind of things the man painted. He just sees what you don't see. There was one child I saw that, used for an advert, that he just sees images in what you think is plain. She sees an image inside it. It's not about trying. It's what? A gift. We all have one. We do. Each person has one. The problem is that sometimes the gift you have, because the world doesn't know it, you don't know it also. I don't know whether I get my point. Yeah, it happens. Let me give you an example. If you were born a few years before computer programming became an in thing, even though you have the analytical mind to program, you won't know you have that gift. Are you getting my point? You'll be able to analyze things, but the real thing, because God, no, it's the Lord that gave that wisdom to men. So usually when he's releasing it, he's already giving birth to children who are going to be, you know, serious when it comes to writing programs. But the very first day, you know, I was reading the story of this man, Steve Jobs, the one that just died the last week, you know. And he talked about why it was so good for him that he dropped out of school, because it gave him the freedom to finally identify what he really wanted to do. Are you getting my point? Yes, because before then, he didn't even know. But he said, but when I was no longer under pressure to take courses that were just part of the curriculum, I could not just go for any course that I wanted. In that process, I discovered, I'm not going into details now, but I discovered some things that I really wanted to do. So sometimes, people may not know exactly what it is that they want to do, but we all have one. That's the point I'm making. We all have. So what do I do with my life? If you have identified yours, and listen, just by the way, I'm spending time. I don't mean, because that's another thing, when something is very popular, everybody is doing it, suddenly you have the gift too. I told the story the day I went to University of Benin to go and do a seminar many years ago, Kingsley and I. At the end of the day, I asked a simple question. The last day, people were allowed to ask questions. My call and my course. That was the title. Your gift, 90% there could sing or act. I said, it's not their fault. It's two-faced. It's not their fault. It's a Motola Jalade Ekende. It's true. Those are the people that caused the problem. You see, I don't have the gift of acting. That gift is rare. Sorry. More people claim to have it than really have it. My conviction is that less than 10% of those who claim to have it. Less than 10. Why do many people have it? Wait. Wouldn't you, every time Julia Roberts signs signature for film, $20 million, everybody loves that. So they never ask the film. They just sign. Say, the film shall be called Hellfire on Earth. That is, nobody even knows what it looks like. Once she signs, $20 million. Not Naira. US what? Dollars. That's why every young girl starts looking like Julia Roberts and having the gift of acting. It's $20 million that's a problem. So let's leave that one, all right? And if you want to know whether you can sing, you know how you know? Ask me. Did you get my point? Don't say no. I know my gift is solo, is bars, I sing like this. Don't worry. Ask the person living with you in the house, oh boy, do you think I can sing? The guy say, just forget it. You can't. He's trying to be nice. He doesn't know how to tell you. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. The second thing, all right, let's leave that gift. So that's what I'm trying to say that. If you really know it, then you must develop it. When one young lady came to me and asked me some questions. And one of the things she said was that she's skilled when it comes to painting. That, in fact, it's one of the things she uses to pay her way through school. That her artwork is good. People buy it. So she was just asking me something. But what I want to bring up from there is that I gave her one advice. I said, you are graduating. She's a final year student. I said, you're graduating now. She said, yes. I said, the greatest error that you will step into in life is take a job that doesn't give you time to paint. You hear what I said? I told the young woman, I said, just take a job that will not give you the time to paint. Then you know you have missed your destiny. I'm not saying your destiny is necessarily painting. But if you take a job that does not let you manifest this gift that you have identified, just know you're in trouble. I don't have time to go into that in detail now, all right? So that's just one, all right? Now, the second side, how do you know your gift? Or what you're supposed to do with your life? The second side is, a lot of times you don't know. You don't really know for sure. When people tell me they don't know for sure, no problem with that. There's absolutely no problem with it. You know what's going to happen? God will lead you into it one day. What you do meanwhile is everything that they give you to do, do it well. Do you get my point? There is, you know, Sokoto State, they say born to rule. There's nothing like born to rule. Nobody was born. They say your gift is to be a king. Go and check in Israel. Most of those princes were idiots. Did you hear what I said? The fact that your father is a king doesn't mean anything. Uh-huh. So no, if you are a king, you should not allow any of your children to wake up and say, my gift is to be the king of Israel. It's a very stupid gift. There's no gift like that. Absalom tried it. You saw what happened to him. So forget that one. What each person should do, if you're a king, kings are made not over nations directly, but over, how do I put it now? For example, if the man has a gift of teaching, he can one day become a king. I don't know what I said. If he has a gift of doing business, he can one day become a king. If he has a gift, all right, of being a, if she has a gift of being a good housewife, one day she can end up being a judge in Israel. It doesn't mean anything. Because leaders are made in different spheres. Yeah, they are made in different spheres. You go to a place like United States that they do a lot of democracy and stuff like that, you see the kind of thing I'm talking about. What was Jimmy Carter? A farmer. Jimmy Carter was a career farmer. The man was a real farmer. Literal farmer. But he became the president. Bill Clinton was the lawyer. He became the president. You are getting my point? Barack Obama, he didn't just wake up one day, he became to become president. He was already a community leader of some sort. In school, he had already shown excellence. Are you getting my point? Then they invited him to the faculty. Come and teach law. So it's not as if you sit at home and say, you know, that's why those countries that just have kingship passing from one generation to the other, their troubles usually are plenty. The king sits down and does nothing. Those who have sense, no. They learned over the years. That's why in what they call it, Great Britain, what they do is, you will join military. You go Afghanistan. Yeah, you go to a normal school with normal people. You will join, you become an officer. You will take orders, you will do everything. That's only, if you sit at home, picking tea, say, one day my papa will die, praise God. That country is in trouble. Are you getting my point? I'm looking at an issue here. So, what was David's gift? What was his calling? His gift, of course, different from calling now, because calling is that specific assignment God wants you to execute on the earth. Right? Gift is that which he has given you to be able to, you know, work with. The man was very skilled at composing music and playing his instrument, and he was very diligent in being a shepherd. Because I don't believe he had this calling of a shepherd. That was the job his father gave him to do. I don't know what I said. That was the job his father gave him to do. It is forbidden for young men and young women to be idle. Are you getting my point? Let me say that to you again. Idleness is forbidden. Amen? Amen. If you wake up in the morning and say, what are you doing? I never get work. Just know that you're in trouble. If nobody has employed you, like Archbishop Benson Dawsa will say, just deploy yourself somewhere. Wake up in the morning and have an assignment. If you are good in physics, go to one school nearby. Oh my God. Get what I'm saying. I'm not joking. And organize those who are about to take WASC and teach them physics. Don't sit at home. Cross your leg. Go and listen to Andrew Womack. And I pray that a lot of preachers will learn it. Andrew Womack said, you can't... let me give my own words, all right? For a long time, I used to ask myself, say, God, when you call the man into ministry, why you know they give him plenty of food? Yeah, you've heard stories. Preacher will tell you that, the early days things were rough. And I said, God, why must the story be like that always? The banker doesn't tell me the early day things were rough. Are you getting my point? Yes. The businessman doesn't tell me the early days. When he says the early day things were rough, it's a different kind of rough. But when the preacher says early day things were rough, they are all rough, they're rough. Why is this just our own? It took me a long time, but I finally got the answer. You know the answer? Whether God calls you or not, idleness is idleness. A man that doesn't work doesn't eat. Should I say it another way? If you say you're a pastor, you sit down, you preach on Sunday. You sit down Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then maybe you preach on Thursday. Then Friday. And Saturday, nothing again. Then Sunday morning. That you work 2 hours a week. If you employ somebody and he work 2 hours a week, how much you go pay him? What I don't like, they say, we are praying. Those of us who are not preaching, what are we doing? Make it like your own prayer life is more serious than our own. There are different kinds of prayers. There's prayer of idleness. Since you don't have any other thing to do, you start praying. Listen, I have been idle before, and it doesn't make you more spiritual. What I'm telling you is not a joke. Idleness does not make anybody spiritual. If you are called to ministry, listen to me now. I'm talking to you. If you're a preacher, preach. If you're not preaching yet, do something else. Go and read the scriptures now. Those people that Jesus called, it was from their busy spot. Oh man, don't catch fish. All night, no fish show. It was in the midst of that, Jesus now showed him issues. Now he said, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Matthew was collecting his taxes. Go and check it. There's none of them just waiting for the coming of the Messiah that God called. None of them just sit down and say, what are you doing? We are praying that the Messiah will come. Just nod their head like, you know, the way Jews used to do. Just walk past this and say, leave this once. Even Judas was busy stealing when they called him. Telling you, more politicians have better career in ministry than a lot of us Christians. Whatever you are doing, be doing it. You are getting what I'm saying? Yes. I mean, say, look, listen. Anyway, I'm not talking preaching to preachers alone. I'm talking generally. Do you get my point? I'm saying this is not allowed. Just sit down. It's better to do something that's not producing than to do nothing at all. You join the traffic warden and say, all right, guys, let me just take a turn. They're not paying you, but at least everybody knows where to find you. It's true. It's true. Can I hear you say, if you come and meet him and say that, what's my calling? What's my calling? Say, just go and do something that God will know where to find you. When he needs you, he knows that, no, that guy is going to be there doing something. You get my point? And in that process, a lot of people, all right? That's how they find their calling. That's how they find their gift. It's in just doing things here and there. So in this, because it's actually God that's leading them. Are you getting my point? Yes, God that is leading. So sometimes you can't just sit at home and be, you know, some people want to pray until God reveals to them. Say, Pastor Banky, please, I want to know what my gift is or what my calling is. My question is, what are you doing now? That's all I want to know. What are you doing now? What is it? Okay, when you wake up in the morning, okay, what will people, now listen to it like this. What will I need that I will call you? It's very important. What will is it that I will say I'm looking for? And your name will come to my mind. Ask yourself that question, everybody. That what is it that the society will want? And it's my name that will come there, come to their mind. If you don't have an answer to that, you have a long way to go. You have a problem to solve urgently. It's not just I went to school and I got a certificate. That's not what I'm talking about. It's a simple thing like, those who are thinking of me now, how are they thinking of me? What needs will arise in their lives that will make them pick up their phones and call me? It can be, it's their daughter's birthday. This is where we'll get cake from. Are you getting my point? But please, your name must ring a bell in somebody's mind about something. And shall I say this to you simply, children of God? If you don't have that answer, I don't care how long you are working in an office. Develop a career for yourself. That is, develop yourself into a job. Yes. There must be something. You see, that's the reason why you will never be jobless in life. Because what do we mean when somebody has a job, he has work he's doing, it just means he's rendering service to somebody. Are you getting my point? That's what it means. So in life, you just have to try and hone down in that direction. So that when people are thinking, I mean, just to give a few examples, of course, you already understand what I'm saying, just to explain. Anytime, maybe like, in this office now, like for the last few days, last few weeks, Israel, Bishop and I, we've been talking that, okay, we need to decorate this place, we need to do this. Instantly, somebody comes to my mind when we talk about painting. Even in my house, and something's out of order, we need to rearrange and paint and all of that, there's a name that comes to my mind. If I go to somebody else's house and I say, your house needs to be repainted, his name comes to my mind. Do you get my point? Let's talk on a practical level first, all right? Just to explain something. If tomorrow I walk in somewhere and there's a multi-million dollar job that needs to be done with painting, one name still comes to my mind first. Are you getting my point? If I become a governor tomorrow and I say this last governor really dirtied this whole government house, we need to repaint it, one name still comes to my mind. I don't know what I get my point. It's one of the ways by which God makes you rich in life. You follow what I'm saying? One of my friends and I were discussing those days. We're doing, doing some work, this ministry work, but my own was in the area of printing and all of that. He said one of the ways by which he will become rich is simple. I'm doing this printing thing now. We're all on small levels. I continue improving my skills. My friends are improving their skills somewhere. One day they will become the MDs of PZ. Then they have to print annual report. Say, I will be the one to print it. Another friend becomes the general overseer of Salvation Internationally Redeemed Aggregated Churches of God. They want to print whatever be the name of the ministry. They want to do annual convention and print plenty magazines and journals. Who will print it? It is me. God will not let him give the job to any other person. So as one is becoming general overseer, one is becoming MD. Are you getting my point? I'm printing. You're getting the point? They can become anything. They become federal ministers. And because, you see, as Christians, let me tell you, let me give you a commandment. Spiritual political empowerment. If they put you in office, don't give any job to your friend that he hasn't done before. That's wrong. Go and give contracts to those who have never seen contract paper. That's corruption. Yes, you are participating in it. Don't give me. You want to send me to jail? The only thing you owe me, Pastor Bank, when you become a governor, is inauguration service. Now me go preach. Nothing. After that, don't want anything. Just leave me alone. When you're in trouble, call me. I won't come to your office. If you think I come to your, you will look. They will know that I know the governor when you're always coming to my house. I'm not going to come to your office. I won't come. It's just a point. And I will do it so I can brag that you know that boy, that governor. He's my boy. Bring me the phone. Call him. Tell him to come. So get him to forget. I just want to prove to those I'm preaching to that I can call him. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. The day you see me in your office, you should be afraid. Yes? Go and read the scriptures. Once the prophet arrives, did you come peaceably? Any problem, sir? Is everything okay? The king knows that issue was there. Prophet has come. The day I come, show up in your office, be afraid. Just no may peradventure you have sinned. I am not going to listen. Let me promise you ahead of time. I won't call you to beg a friend to help a friend of mine beg for contract. I will not. I promise you that under God. I will not call you to help somebody get a job. I promise you that under God. I will never put you under pressure once you enter that office. Every time you get my phone call, get on your knees. You say, my phone is ringing. It's Pastor. Just kneel down. Say, good afternoon, sir. I'm on my knees. What did the Lord say? And I just said, he shall be well with you. Say, okay, is that all? Tell the Lord I said, amen. I'm serious. We preachers, we should learn that. When you preach the word of God and God empowers people. Listen to me, let me tell you the truth. Tomorrow God puts you in charge of a company that's turning over $50 billion in sales a year. I will never call you for anything. I promise you. I'm promising you. Never, ever. I'm coming to your city, I'll pay for my hotel room if I let you know I'm in town. The only people I will ever call, I'm telling you the truth. If that time you were a small man, you used to give me gifts, you understand my point, on my birthday. Now that you're a big man, on my birthday, I will remind you that I want a brand new 9 Series BMW. Only do you get my point? Not because we are rich, but because we had the relationship over time. Yeah, that's a matter of fact. That's a matter of fact. That's one thing we preachers must learn. We must learn it. Now, let me get back to what I was saying. So, my friend said that, listen, that is how it's going to be. Tomorrow, my friend is going to be a big man. When he has this kind of job, I'm the one he's going to give. Because for the last 20 years, we have been having a relationship, and this is the job he knows I do. One of the things that spoil our country is that you go and give a university lecturer, giving contract to refurbish refinery. See? He has never seen one. The closest he has ever been to a refinery is the filling station down his road. That's it. But then suddenly he comes to the community, he's a rich man. Listen, we Christians have to do things differently. You hear what I said? We have to do things how? Differently. We must. Let me end this message because I started speaking on time and the time has really gone. And I've not even gone into the main thing I wanted. Well, it's still done, just that the thing is far down the line. So we're getting there. But the point I'm going to get to is that, listen, we've identified, now we must be doing something. That's what I'm saying. It's those seeds we are planting in doing something that God's going to bless. You may have had, you have prayed, anointing full your head. You have confessed the word in heaven, Lord, day, blessing God wants to pour down. But it's not going to pour it down like that. He has to channel it through somewhere. He has to. The first place is through that gift that he has given you. Then the second place is through the doors he has opened as opportunities for you to bless people. Assignments he has given you to fulfill. David, I said, was a shepherd. That was not his calling. That was the job his father gave him. But he did it very well. The excellence in his spirit manifested in being a shepherd. Sometimes God humbles people. You are bragged in your life. There are things you will never do. And God says, your problem is pride. So you will do that one first for me for 3 years. And every day you go, is this all a man has to do? That's one extra month. My friends, when they're doing this, look at them. Another month. But when you get there and say, praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. All things work together for good to them that loves God and are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Let us assume that God makes you a gate man somewhere. You don't like it, but that's your job. And you know, God knows how to arrange it so that you will take it. And you have been hungry, you've been hungry before, you will understand. When you get the next day, people should start knowing you. Say, man, once that man is at the gate, that day, they're different. As you arrive, you say, Mr. Ajalekoko, you are welcome. It's a good day today, isn't it? All the harassment his wife and his children give him at home, he forgets it there. Your smile lightens up his day. You know that? It's important. If you're a university teacher like me, when I preach like this, sometimes I remind myself, anytime I preach like this, on Monday, I'm usually a very good lecturer because the message is still fresh in my heart. Yeah, it's true. I mean, one of the things I still like most in life was when I first came to Enugu there. One day, my class captain came to my office. I said, class captain, what's happening? He said, sir, I just want to sit down. You know what he said? In effect, I came to drink the peace in your office. I said, okay, sit down. So he sat down there and put his head against the wall. People were coming and going. I was going about my business. He just sat there. After he has sat in there, and I said, hey, can we talk? What is the issue? He said, okay, I don't know. Later on, I spoke with him. I found out something. The Holy Spirit just gave me one word of knowledge. I just said, you go to class a lot. He said, yes, sir. I said, but you don't read. He looked at me. I said, you don't read. All you do, you come to class by 7, between 7 and 9, you are thinking of all your family problems. And that was the first day it dawned on him that I actually wasn't reading. That's why he wasn't passing. Not because he's stupid. Because he counts 8 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 3 hours he stays in class. But he doesn't realize that he just there staring at the book and think about the problems at home. You can affect lives. I'm not going into details on that. You can affect lives anywhere. I remember when I worked in the clinic, I've told the story several times. Then I resigned from it shortly after my youth service. And one man saw me on the street one day and said, doc, I went back to this clinic, you're no longer there. I said, no, I've left there. I'm doing my postgraduate program in Luth and all of that. I told him what I was doing. I'm going to be a pathologist. He said, so you don't see patients? I said, no. He now reminded me of what the last time we met, he and his wife came to see me. The wife had a little boy. I took the delivery, actually. And, you know, just came, the man was afraid that was his child going to be a sickler or not and all of that. And it was a little boy, just by a month old. So he came to the clinic. And, you know, that my, well, I want Bible, that black. I think I see such in the house. I just dragged it into the center of the table and pushed my stethoscope to one side and opened it. I said, children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. And blessed is the man that has a quiver full of them. I said, the blessings of God, they make rich. And they don't add any sorrows to it. I began to prophesy for him. His wife said, amen, amen. The man was looking at me. I thought I was talking to myself and his wife. Was that day he saw me on the road that I realized that I ministered to him that day. So he came back to look for me and he said, I don't work there anymore. I said, where have I gone? And I really helped him that day. I really helped him that. I need to be helping patients like that. Ah, my man, don't worry. I will help more people. Both sick and well people. In Jesus' name. You get what I'm trying to say? So everywhere, it may not be your calling in life, you get there. Alright? You can bless people there. And until you do that job with exuberance and joy, listen, God is not moving you. He won't move you. He will demand you rejoice. And every day you whine and complain, you join a strike, one extra month. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. The place I wanted to get to, we'll continue to. I was hoping I was finished this today, but apparently the way it went. I want to encourage everybody. You must start out doing something. And each person will get an answer in his heart to that. What is that thing? And don't wait with that funny story when I have money. No. The Lord has sent me and his spirit, not me and money. No matter what it is, if you just feel like, let me start teaching and nobody will employ you, it's very simple. Walk to one school. I keep on saying it sounds like a joke, but I pray you will do it. Let me tell you, that's what I did. That's why you are here.